From Washington, this is Daybreak Asia. Good morning, I'm Jim Stevenson. Coming up, Philippines gives compensation request to the United States for reef damage. China crackdown on expression expands. Number of Indian students heading to America on the rise. These stories and more on this Friday edition of VOA's Daybreak Asia. The Philippines is asking the United States to pay more than $1 million for damaging an internationally protected reef a year and a half ago. The reef is located in the Sulu Sea on the opposite side of the South China Sea, where the Philippines is in a dispute with China and four other nations. From Manila, Simone Orendain reports.
In early 2013, the U.S. naval minesweeping vessel, the USS Guardian, was stuck for 73 days on a section of the Tubataha Reef on the eastern coast of Palawan Province. Officials estimate the minesweeper damaged more than 2,300 square meters of corals. Engineers had to dismantle the ship to remove it. Tubataha Reef's Protected Area Superintendent Angelique Sonko says an assessment team, which included local officials, U.S. Navy personnel, and a U.S. marine biologist, concluded damages would run about $1.5 million.
Both parties agreed. We had scientists with us, and you know, we all agreed that that was the size after having measured it. And yes, we were happy about it, and you know, we think it's fair.
The 97,000-hectare Tubataha reefs are a designated United Nations World Heritage Site. The Marine Parks administrators say more than 70% of the world's coral species grow there. The sanctuary is a popular recreational diving spot and home to internationally threatened and endangered marine animals. A local environmentalist group, Kalikasan, or Nature, says the compensation request is not only too late, it is not enough. Kalikasan National Coordinator Clarence Bautista says the Philippine government should pursue criminal and civil cases.
It doesn't address the issue of how the U.S. Navy or USS Guardian responsible officers and personnel to be held accountable under Philippine jurisdiction.
Kalikasan filed a petition with the Philippines High Court calling for several conditions, including immediate compensation of up to $27 million, pursuing criminal charges under Philippine law, and placing a moratorium on joint U.S. and Philippine military exercises, especially in marine protected areas. Bautista says last month the Supreme Court sent word that the U.S. respondents had not yet received the filing. The U.S. Navy relieved four officers, including the ship's commander, following the incident. Weeks after the USS Guardian was cleared away, a Chinese fishing vessel carrying endangered species ran aground on the northern edge of the reef. Tubataha Superintendent Angelique Sonko says the Chinese grounding cost double the amount of damage of the U.S. ship, but there has been difficulty tracking down that vessel's owner. In light of the two incidents, Tubataha on Thursday issued an action plan to strengthen enforcement of its buffer zone. It covers 356,000 hectares of surrounding waters. Simone Orendain for VOA News, Manila.
We hope your Friday morning is off to a great start. We'll try to help it along, especially a little later when Ray Cugell stops by with this week's movie review. A crackdown by China's Communist Party leaders on dissent and freedom of expression is showing signs of intensifying. Over the past week, authorities have issued several rulings against civil rights activists and announced new regulations that bar reporters from writing critical news stories without approval. Draft rules that would ban lawyers from posting any comments about cases online have also surfaced. VOA's Bill Ide has more from Beijing.
Chinese authorities have highlighted their resolve to clamp down on dissent in recent days through a wide range of measures. Prominent activist and lawyer Pu Zhiqiang was formally arrested on charges of causing a disturbance and obtaining illegal access to personal information. On Thursday, three activists were sentenced to prison after calling on government officials to disclose their wealth to the public. The charges against Pudrichang were announced more than a month after he was detained, following his participation in a private gathering to mark the bloody crackdown of the pro-democracy Tiananmen Square protests of 1989. Two of the activists sentenced on Thursday were given 6.5 years in prison. Both are members of a loosely organized group called the New Citizens Movement. On Wednesday, China's media watchdog issued a notice that reporters were forbidden from writing critical stories without first receiving approval, including posting them online on other websites or social media. Authorities say the moves are meant to address the worsening problems of reporters extorting money for stories. Li Datong is a former reporter who was dismissed from his job with a state-run media organization because of his opinions. He says he does not see much new in the regulations, given the control authorities already enjoy over the media. But he did note that the move was part of a worrying leftist trend in society. Li says it all reminds him of the nonsensical accusations of the Cultural Revolution. He notes how party publications have recently criticized Zhang Yimou's film Coming Home, and how a top official recently accused a party research group, the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, of being infiltrated by Western forces. And just as reporters are experiencing more restrictions, the All China Lawyers Association has drafted regulations that could ban lawyers from using the media or the internet to draw attention to their cases. William Ni is a Hong Kong-based researcher for Amnesty International.
We have interpreted that as kind of a gag order. Lawyers often use social media, Weibo, which is kind of the Twitter or Facebook-like service, and they use it to a great effect in trying to gather public support in their cases and make the case online for their clients. And this has proven to be fairly effective.
Ling Zhongbing, a Taiwan-based China analyst, says President Xi Jinping's crackdown on dissent is in part an effort to shield himself from criticism as he promotes ambitious reforms that impact the vested interests of those inside and outside of the government. Lin argues that Mr. Xi is trying to avoid the mistakes of a man the president considers his spiritual godfather, former top Chinese official Hu Yaobang, whose death in the spring of 1989 was the trigger for the massive protests in Tiananmen Square. He also helped politically rehabilitate President Xi's father, Xi Zhongxun, Lin adds.
Xi Jinping is determined not to repeat the same mistakes made by Hu Yaobang. That's what it's doing. So you'll notice not only the growing assertiveness along the coast of China with the neighbors, but also domestically arresting dissidents. That's also a toughness to sort of protect himself against possible criticism from conservatives.
Bill Ide, VOA News, Beijing.
Japan's parliament has approved a measure criminalizing the possession of child pornography in a move that follows years of international pressure. Under the new law, those found guilty of possessing child pornography will be jailed for up to a year or face a fine of about $10,000. Japan was the only remaining major developed country that had not banned child porn possession. It outlawed production and distribution in 1999. Ernie Allen, president and CEO of the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children, says his agency worked with Japanese officials for years to bring about the new law.
Japan is a global leader in so many ways. I mean, it is a business leader. It is a member of the OECD. But for a host of reasons that I think includes legal, cultural, and others, Japan has really been slow on this issue.
The new law is expected to take effect next month, but penalties for child porn possession will not be enforced for a year, in hopes many people will dispose of the material. Japan's upper house of parliament on Wednesday easily passed the bill, which had already cleared the lower house earlier this month. Although the country took longer than its economic peers to enact reforms, Allen is looking to Japan to trigger further changes around the globe, especially in Asia and Latin America.
There are still some very significant countries that do not criminalize possession, including China, Russia, Argentina, Uruguay, Venezuela, Ukraine, Ecuador, and others. So we hope that the action of Japan will stimulate greater awareness and greater action in parliaments and in the rest of the world.
The new law does not, however, cover anime videos, computer-generated graphics, or the so-called Magna comics that sometimes feature sexually exploited images of children. Some lawmakers and other critics said they feared that such a crackdown on animated images or drawings would endanger free speech. After declining for some years, the number of Indian students heading to the United States for graduate and undergraduate studies is surging. From New Delhi, Anjana Pasricha reports a major factor is the lack of quality universities in India to cater to a huge young population.
Hundreds of students have been lining up at the American Embassy in New Delhi this summer to get a visa to study in a college in the United States. Besides Delhi, they come from smaller cities such as Jaipur and Lucknow in northern India. Some are headed for undergraduate studies in commerce and engineering. Others are going to pursue a master's in American universities.
The flexibility of subjects and the practical learning that you get over there, I don't think you can get it here. So it's just because of the exposure that you get in the U.S. I don't think any other country can provide you with that exposure.
And you didn't even apply.
I always had an inclination towards, you know, going to U.S. and doing what my father did.
It was my dream. It was like my ambition to do my higher education in U.S. itself.
Indian students account for about 12% of foreign students in the United States, the second highest after China. But their numbers dipped between 2009 and 2012, when the American economy slowed due to the global financial crisis. Officials at the American Embassy in New Delhi say numbers are surging again. 40% more student visas have been issued since October 2013. The United States attracts the most Indian students headed to study overseas. About 100,000 Indian students are enrolled on American campuses. Britain and Australia are other popular destinations. Education consultants in India say higher affluence has made a foreign education more affordable. But the major factor is the formidable competition for admission to a good college in India, where about half of the 1.2 billion people are under age of 25. A professor at the Indian Institute of Management in Bangalore, Rupa Chanda, says supply of quality higher education in India has fallen short of demand.
The rising competition, the lack of sufficient number of quality institutions in the country, the fact that there hasn't been enough increase in capacity, that is the number of seats in some of the, you know, coveted disciplines that people want to study in. And really, if you don't get into the top tier, the next after that, I mean, there's just not much to choose from.
In the most coveted engineering colleges, such as the Indian Institutes of Technology, less than 2% of applicants are accepted. Admissions are based on entrance tests, for which most students undertake 2 years of grueling coaching. In most other colleges, students are admitted on the basis of their school grades, but the cut-off scores to apply are becoming out of reach for even bright students. This year, they exceed 95% at top colleges in Delhi University. It is this rigorous competition that prompted 18-year-old Shorya Dhankar from Delhi to apply to colleges in the United States instead of an Indian college.
First of all, the cut-offs are really high. And also because I had good extracurriculars, which were advantages for me in applying to the United States of America. There not much appreciation is given for them in India. The U.S. system is much more simple and relaxed, and I didn't have to give any entrances and, you know, study all day for them.
Successive governments in India have acknowledged the problem, but academics say little has been done to address it. The previous government had prepared a bill to allow foreign universities to set up campuses in India, but it has not yet received parliamentary approval. American officials are upbeat about the students heading to their country. Michael Pelletier at the American Embassy says they contribute to the links that bring the two countries together through people-to-people ties.
It is something that is incredibly important to you, but incredibly important to our countries as well, because those are the sorts of relationships and experiences that you will draw on for the rest of your lives.
There is a flip side for India. Business groups say the country could save billions of dollars in foreign exchange if it could offer more students a quality education at home. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
The issue of gender identity is very much a part of today's culture. In this week's movie review, VOA's Ray Kugel tells us about a new short film that tackles the subject in a most unusual way. A group of guys sitting around watching boxing on television is kind of the quintessential macho thing to do. In a short movie called Princessa, that's what a 28-year-old Filipino-American father named Ray is doing with two buddies, and also taking care of his young son and daughter while mom is out. An earthquake suddenly hits, plunging them all into darkness and making the children very scared.
Whoa, that was a big one. Mother, dang!
What happened?
Dude, you okay?
Daddy, where are you?
Stop crying, Jojo. We're still right here.
Hey, Ray. Where are the flashlights?
Mom, you're not answering. Flashlight. Maybe in the kitchen and some candles too. Hold up, I'll get them.
No, Daddy, don't go. Stay here.
After finding some candles, Ray tries to calm them down with a story, based on a traditional dance in the Philippines called a singkil. It is a tale of a beautiful princess in a forest who is the envy of all around her and a heroic warrior prince.
The singkil happened long ago in the beautiful forest of the Philippines, where your Lola darling is from. And one day, as mommy, the princess was exploring the forest.
Ray's son, 6-year-old Jojo, is entranced, saying he wants to be the princess with beautiful long hair and wear a necklace of bells around his neck. Jojo starts to dance, imagining himself as the princess. The father's two friends, now without their sports fix on television, get very irritated over watching the boy's actions and belittle their host about his son's tendencies.
What the hell was that?
Wilmer, shut up.
Dude! Your son's gay.
Hey, he didn't say that. He just said he wanted to be a princess.
It's the same damn thing.
No. I mean, how should I know? He's 6 years old. I don't know what it means.
Wilmer's right. Okay, my cousin Benny acted like that, and he totally turned bakla. You see? Is that what you want? Man, let's just go in there and handle this.
Hey, I don't want anyone handling anything.
So you're just gonna let this one go?
This? He's 6. There's nothing to handle.
Keep acting like a little gay boy. It's uncomfortable.
Ray orders him to get out of the house and is forced to question his own parenting skills. Princessa writer-director Drew Stevens tells this seemingly simple story of a sensitive matter in a most captivating way. Live actors are cartooned into animated backgrounds with vivid color for the singkil portion of the story. I spoke with Stevens, who is based in San Francisco, about how he came up with the idea to make a film about gender identification and use Philippine culture to make the point.
I married into a Filipino family more than 20 years ago, and of course I've fallen in love with all the Filipino culture, including their really, really rich tradition of epic storytelling. By far, my personal favorite Filipino traditional tale is the singkil. It's a dance, actually, and it tells about a princess who dances through an earthquake. She's with her royal entourage, and they carefully dance through the dangerous falling bamboo trees, and the kulintong gongs and the drums are echoing across the forest. And so it's just really, really powerful. And I knew that someday I wanted to be able to share the singkil in a film, but I just really needed kind of a modern-day story to pair with the traditional backdrop.
What familiarity did the actors and actresses you used have about their traditional story and dance?
I knew that I had some dancers who could play the princess and her entourage. But the actors all came from Bindlestiff Studio, which is a Filipino performing arts group in San Francisco, and they had never danced. So Patrick Silvestre, who plays the father, had never danced the cinquil at all and had to learn it for this film, as did both the boy and the girl.
How did you decide to combine the cinquil with gender identification?
Cinquil is thought to have originated in the Mindanao island of the Philippines, specifically with the Maranao people around Lake Lanao. And one of the interesting things about that is that it was originally danced all by women that would play all the roles, whether male or female. When the parents tell traditional tales that go back hundreds and hundreds of years, do modern-day children see themselves always in these traditional tales? And what if they don't? Can we change the tales without losing our cultural identity?
Is the Filipino-American community especially sensitive to the gender identification issue?
There's a term called bakla, which is typically a very effeminate boy. And so I think that Filipinos in general are open to that concept. But, you know, if you were to speak to people that were raised within the culture, you would find that there's also pretty strongly defined gender roles, especially men are expected to act a certain way.
Is the film offering advice on parenting skills and dealing with identity conflict?
What I tried to do was portray the confusion that happens from the father's perspective. And I think the writers made a conscious decision not to try to tell people how to feel or what to do or how to parent, but to show the confusion and the indecision that some parents might face. In fact, if people leave the theater and say, that's not how I would do it, or what would I do, then we've succeeded with what we wanted to do with this film. So, yeah, I think that's the overall message, is that we just really want to embrace all of our children. And frankly, my point was to salute the parents who do just that. They're like superheroes to me.
Stephen's film Princesa uses an all-volunteer crew of 40 people and is beautifully complemented by an original score from Emmy Award-winning composer Mitchell Covington. While the film raises questions about gender non-conforming children, there are answers to fit any parent-child relationship. They are all matters of love and acceptance. Princesa offers a visually unique look, one that's already been successful at independent film festivals in the United States and Mumbai, India. I'm Ray Kugel.
Hey, shall we play the story together again?
Can I be the princess, Daddy?
Of course, honey. And you, Jojo, do you still want to be the princess, too?
Yeah, I want long black hair, shiny clothes, and a sword.
A sword?
Princesses can have swords, too. Yeah, and they can be really strong.
Yeah. Really strong.
As he does so often, Ray Kugel passes along the website. If you'd like more information, it's princesafilm.com, and you can type it in as PRINSESAFILM, all one word. If you'd like to stay up to date on the latest world news, you can go to our website at voanews.com. If you have a mobile phone, download our VOA app, or one of the best ways is just to stay tuned. And here's Steve Norman. He's up next with the latest world news and international edition. I'm Jim Stevenson. Thanks for joining us today on Daybreak Asia.
For listeners in China, there's a new Chinese language iPhone application from VOA. Simply go to the iTunes App Store and type VOA space Chinese, and then look for VOA.